Blog Talk Radio.
I made it. How many of us can say that? Huh? That you don't look like what you've been through. You're on the other side of that thing. Huh? I want you, if you're listening right now, even if nobody in the room, I want you to turn and pretend somebody there and say, I made it. The devil thought he had me. He had me in a real bad situation. I thought I wasn't going to make it out. I'm telling you. Had me in the headlock, as they say back in the day, the fool Nelson. But I got out of that thing. I shook myself up out of that thing. And I made it to the other side. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. That was Ty Tribbett and Fantasia with I Made It, one of the songs that I like listening to when I want to encourage myself. Because sometimes you just got to encourage yourself, brothers and sisters. There's not nobody there. You could be the only one in the room. Praise God, you just got to encourage your own self. And sometimes I listen to gospel music to do that. Amen. It's Monday night, so you know what that means. Call-in night. Even though a lot of you act a little chicken, you don't want to call in and ask your questions and make your comments, I still want to extend the opportunity anyway. Tonight is Monday night, and it's open line night. Tonight we have a discussion, a topic, denominations. Is it biblical or man-made? Are denominations biblical or are they man-made? Well, what do you mean by denomination, Brother Manny? Well, for some of you that may or may not know, I know it might be a little, you know, self-explanatory, but for some people, they may not know what you're talking about. You see a lot of these churches, you see different types of churches. You see the Church of God in Christ. You got the Church of God. You got Baptist Church, and you got Southern Baptist, you got Methodist, you got Pentecostal, you got Lutheran Church, then you have all these different, the Catholic Church, you have all these different types of denominations. One church is a Pentecostal church, but it's not the same type of Pentecostal church that's down the street. So We're gonna try to make a little sense of this tonight. I got my brothers coming on tonight, and you know, they always are able to provide insight. Most times, answer all questions. They're not perfect. They're not going to be able to answer every question, but I like, you know, to think that between the collective, we should be able to get you an answer, or at least be able to point you in the direction to find the answer. Point you in the direction to find the answer. Excuse me for the, I was tongue tied there. So we're going to have the brothers come on. We're going to ask a few questions about this topic, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But before we do that, I want to let you know that we are on social media. That's right, God's Word to Man is on social media. We have a Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, we want you to go on over, like and follow that page, and begin to share some of the things that you see here that we post, the broadcasts that we post. Start sharing those broadcasts, because I'm sure there's someone that you know that it can be a blessing for. Somebody to be uplifted, educated, and inspired, right? So it's a small icon, got a Bible with a bright light shining down on it. That's God's Word to Man Facebook page. You can also email us at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. If you email us there with your question, your comment, or even a prayer request, we'll do our very best to respond in a timely manner, okay? With that said, again, tonight's broadcast, the topic is denominations. Is it a biblical thing, or is it a man-made thing? You can call in. The number to call in is 323-870-3403. Again, that number again is 323-870-3403. Now, without further ado, I'm going to bring on my first brother. He's always here on time. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
God bless you, Brother Manny. As always, it is a blessing and a privilege to be on. Again, I always thank you for this platform. It's so needed, and I just appreciate you having it, and may God continue to bless you and your family richly. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. I received that. Amen. Decreed over my life. Thank you. Rev, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself really quick while we wait on the other brothers to come on, and also kind of briefly speak about why you wanted to talk about this topic.
Amen. My name is Joseph Murphy. I am the senior pastor of Caring Church of Memphis. I've been in ministry going on almost 30 years. February will be 30 years. I pastored the church here in Chicago for about 7 years, and now God has us with the up-and-coming ministry in Memphis. I do have one literary work out right now. It is called Defeating the Enemy, Strategies for a Healthy and Successful Marriage. It is in e-reader form on AmazonBooks.com. I am currently having my play edited. It is called What If? And I'm also currently working on my next book called Crying on the Inside. And so it's about challenging ourselves to look in the mirror and find out what's really at the crux of our issues as individuals. A lot of times people think only low self-esteem applies to women, but I found that I suffered for a very long time from low self-esteem. So I'm just writing a book that God has led me to write to address that. But outside of that, I love being on this platform, speaking to the issues that we have. Denominations, I want to just say off the bat that I'm not against denominations. I think that some churches do an excellent job of using that platform to kind of have a structured way of discipling. But again, you know, there's always somebody in the bunch who messes things up. And I think the devil has used it as an opportunity in a lot of cases to bring division in the body of Christ. And so that's why I kind of wanted to discuss it today, so we can really get kind of an understanding, because when we come out of this COVID-19, and we are going to come out of it, God is causing it to even dry up in this, even as we speak. But when we come out, the body of Christ does not need to be divided any longer. We need to come together on one accord, body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and just speak the truth to everybody's situation and bring some unity within the body of Christ so that we can help transform lives, because heaven should be everyone's goal. Salvation should be everyone's goal. So I just want to look at it tonight.
Amen. Amen. I myself am very interested in this topic because, listen, and I know that 1 hour or 2 hours is not going to do this topic justice. So this may carry over for a few Mondays, because we really need Amen. To get into origins of some of this stuff and find out, like, okay, you attend a church that is, let's say Compton Church of God in Christ, whatever, right? Well, yeah. where did that come from? You're just going to church every day and you're sitting in church, but where did that come from? And aren't we all disciples of Christ? Like, why do we have to have multiple, churches and church rules and bylaws? And, it gets all confusing. And I think sometimes the true message gets lost in the shuffle of all of these organizations. And so I'm very happy that you decided to, kind of break the ice and touch on this a little bit. And hopefully some of the other brothers can join you and add to it. So, Rev, I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor, and you can open up with however you wish. I'll reserve my questions to the middle and the end.
No problem, Brother Manning. Thank you again. So to kind of start answering some of what you just said, the reality is that a lot of the denominations, if not every last one of them, have found some type of scripture in the Bible where they believe it has helped substantiate them building a doctrine around who they are. The Bible does make reference to the church in God. I can see where they have adopted that from. The Bible makes mention of the Church of God. The Catholic Church has adopted their stance behind Peter. The Apostolic Church has established their doctrine around Peter's saying to be baptized in Jesus' name only. So in a lot of cases, what has happened, a lot of these denominations have established their denomination based on a verse of scripture they believe to be a building block for their doctrine, and so they build off of that. And where that basically stems from is the Bible. You had in the Old Testament, you had in the Bible days, a group called the Pharisees. They were a bunch of religious fanatics who, based on what they believe was the maintaining the knowledge of the laws of Moses, they felt that because they were so wise in those laws, that they were more or less above the next individual. And they knew, and they felt like that they knew the scriptures so well that even when Jesus came on the scene, they felt like they had the ability to essentially decipher from Jesus being the actual Messiah and them believing that he could not have been. And because that was based on their wealth of information that they felt like they possessed. And that is a classic case. The Pharisees is a classic case of what we have today, where there are a lot of people who are very intelligent. And I'm not speaking against theologians. And theologians are individuals who are prolific at the study of scriptures. They can pretty much in most cases rightly divide it, but you do have some theologians that are out here who, you can kind of question some of their thinking and their processes. But essentially, that's where the Pharisees come from. And some people can get so built up into the knowledge portion till they don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in. And the Holy Spirit, what he does is he brings wisdom. He brings understanding. He brings discernment. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us study the scriptures so that we can then come away with a right understanding. And once we walk away with the right understanding of scripture, then we can give a right application of the scripture. And so having been in church pretty much all my life, and like I said, in ministry almost 30 years, I have ran into various denominations who believe what they believe, and that's fine to a certain degree, but when we become so dogmatic, as the Pharisees did, till we are not believing that it can be any other way, then that's dangerous, especially when you trace their doctrine back to the scripture and you find out then their doctrine of the denomination does not line up with the scriptures. We may get some phone calls here in a minute because when you look at the true apostolic church and what they believe that if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name only, or if you don't get baptized, then you cannot be saved. And that just does not line up with the scripture. I'm not telling you something that I have stumbled upon or happened to hear. I sat in the home of a couple of ministers that were a part of the apostolic faith, and I didn't necessarily know that at the time, but they began to espouse that their understanding was that if you got baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, then that doesn't save you. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name only. And my wife happened to be sitting there at the time the statement was made, and the Holy Spirit spoke through my wife, and my wife said, "But aren't they all the same?" And the answer to that is yes. And so I will no more go to hell for being baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost than I would be getting baptized in Jesus' name. But again, when these doctrines start espousing these tenets that are things that cannot be broken, then you have to start being leery of that. I don't want to call them a cult, but I'm just saying you have to be leery anytime somebody says, and hear what I'm saying, that this is the exact only way, and then that way does not line up with the scripture. We as true Christians who Christians, I never like to refer to it as a religion. I refer to it more as a way of life, a standard of living. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. And so if someone wants to refer to it as a religion, I'm not opposed to that. But when it's all said and done, Christ Jesus is the standard. And so when anything else that's espoused does not line up with what Jesus has said, with what Jesus has done, yes, Peter said, be baptized in Jesus' name. But when you study that thing out, he was talking about in the character of who Jesus was. So if you back up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, Jesus says to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if we just have to make a decision, who am I going to listen to, Jesus or Peter? And so this is why I wanted to have this discussion because, I mean, quite frankly, we got to get on the same page. It's only one God, it's only one Lord, and as we say, there's only one baptism. And so, you know, we are in a war, whether people know it or not, and the devil doesn't fight fair. When the scripture refers to him in Genesis as the most subtle creature that ever was, that's correct. And he has come into the church in a very subtle way, and when I mean church, I mean the body of Christ, and he's used denominations to bring about division in some cases.
Yeah, I and that was like my next question. Well, my first question actually, where you talk about how Satan has caused a division. And you have this church saying, "Oh, we're the only ones." You know, you hear a lot of churches saying that, oh, yeah, I know you. Oh, you go to church over there? Yeah, but our church is the only church. And this is the only way that you can come. There are no other ways to God. This is the way you can come. And then, as you said, you find that a lot of those denominations take their, you know, what they base their, you know, philosophy or their doctrine on our scriptures out of the Bible. And you find that not too many want to fellowship or intermingle with other churches, all because this church, you know, they're this and they don't allow this. But my church over here, they don't really frown upon, you know, this type of behavior or that type of behavior. So I wonder, and that's, so my question is, how much of it is really predicated upon being able to live your life a certain way or live a certain lifestyle?
I would say, especially in today's era, that a lot of it is based on for people, and as it even was then, but maybe not as much as it is now, I think a lot of it is based on the desire to either still live partly in the world and be in church. We have mistaken church attendance for salvation. And so you always will be able to tell where someone is spiritually by what they say. So when people start talking about, well, you know, you're judging me, I'm not necessarily judging you, but even if I was judging you, when you study scripture, the Bible doesn't encourage us not to judge. It encourages us not to judge people out of love. And it also encourages us to make sure, if we're going to hold someone accountable, make sure our life is in order. And so a lot of this starts with us not having a healthy knowledge of what the scripture actually says versus what we believe it says or what we want it to say. And in a lot of cases, people will join churches or denominations in particular where they feel more comfortable with their level of lifestyle. And so you find, for example, in the United Church of Christ, they openly ordain homosexuals and lesbians. And so, if someone is part of that lifestyle, of course, they are going to gravitate more to that particular denomination because for whatever reason, that particular denomination feels that it's okay for someone who's practicing that lifestyle to be operating in office in ministry. Well, again, to me, we have to be at a point where somebody has to take a stand and say, yes, there aren't many ways. So Oprah had a show a long time ago. Oprah had on her show, she said a long time ago, she had some religious people on her show. And Oprah concluded and said on national TV in front of millions that there are many ways to God. Well, the truth of that is, it's just not many ways to God. There isn't many ways to God. There is only one way to God. And so there's nothing wrong with making that statement that there's it but one way to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with making that statement. But when we vary from making that statement to saying that these are the things specifically you have to do, such as you have to be baptized, then you have to be able to substantiate that in the scripture. And you will find that a lot of people just are not able to accurately substantiate that. They will give you some hybrid understanding of it, but those who have really studied the scripture would be able to actually decipher from what is just propaganda and what is actually the truth. And so when it's all said and done, again, the answer to your question is, yes, people will always, even until Jesus comes back, the scripture says that people will not endure sound doctrine. They will go in search of the kind of doctrine that satisfies their itching ears because that's what they desire. And unfortunately, a lot of leaders, pastors, evangelists, whomever, we are more concerned with numbers than we are quality. We are more concerned with finances than we are the work and the will of God. And so a lot of us have compromised the truth for this hybrid truth in order for us to say, hey, I have a lot of members, or, hey, you know, I'm driving this car, I live in this house, I have this kind of lifestyle. But these are the kinds of individuals that God will be saying, if they do not repent, these are the kind of individuals that God will be saying, depart from me, you were a worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So we got to be careful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that response, Rev. Again, you can call in with your comment, your question, or your prayer request. The number to do that is 323-870-3403. I'm going to take the time now to go to the phone line and go to some calls here. God bless you. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with your sister.
Hey, how you doing? My sister Jeanette?
Absolutely. How you doing, Brother Emmanuel? Bishop?
Hey, how are you doing?
How y'all doing? God bless. I've been listening. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you've been listening. Go ahead. I want you to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to the bishop speak upon the different denominations. And what kept screaming to me is, what better way to have access to God's children than to come into the church and divide us? You have so many people that are set in their ways, and they seek their ways instead of seeking the will of God. So you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like the bishop said, there's only one God. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. So how can there be 20 to 30 denominations? How can there be 20 to 30 different ways to go about it? It can't. But the enemy will come in and get into people's spirit. You know, the enemy will come in and tell people, well, that's not the way. We don't do it that way. We do it this way. I was listening to the Jim Baker show earlier, and I haven't watched Jim Baker for a while. But I just so happened to have it on that channel because I had looked at the Shepherd's Chapel in the wee hours. And Jim Baker said that they're trying to take him off the show, take him off the air. And that a couple of churches, a couple of stations, Christian stations, have dropped him. And all I could think to myself was, look at the enemy. And he named one of the Christian so-called, I think it's like on the internet or something, that was coming against him. And these people stand for the LGBTQ community. And again, I love everybody. I'm not against it, you know, anyone. But again, we know what the Word of God says concerning that. So it's like, how can these people be saying they're Christians or people of God when you support the things that God is against? And then you're trying to come against the people of God, the children of God, for what they stand for, that they have standards. So that's how you break up into all these different churches, because people want to feed their flesh. They don't want to obey the Spirit.
That's right.
They want to feed their flesh.
That's right.
And the Word says that the flesh and the spirit are enmity, or however you correctly pronounce that, to one another. So basically, it just simply means that they are enemies. They can't abide. Light and dark can't abide. So if you're over there and you're in the dark, then the light is not supposed to be over there, and vice versa. So that's how you get all these different denominations, because in this church, as the bishop stated, this church is accepting of homosexuals, you know, whereas this church always, so the church that is not receiving got 10 members. But the church that is receiving of them has 20 to 30 members. You know what I'm saying? So just listening to Jim Baker earlier, I thought to myself, like, he's like, if you want me to stay on the air, you know, you have to continue to, you know, you have to stand by me, support me. And a lot of these churches, instead of seeking the will of God, some of the children, you know, supposed children of God, instead of them seeking the will of God, they are seeking to please man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to add that
Well, thank you very much. You know, you're more than welcome to come on the broadcast and make a comment, or if you have a question or a prayer request. I'm certainly excited and happy that you decided to join us tonight, okay? And you continue to be blessed and listen in, okay?
Absolutely. God bless. Thank you. Love you, too.
Love you.
Yeah, she absolutely right, bro. I mean, that's how a lot of these nominations do come about as well. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our next caller. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brother Monty. How are you guys doing today? God bless you.
What's going on, Brother
Monty? God bless
Monty?
You, Brother Monty. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I just called in. I'm just going to listen in. So I'll mute myself. I'm just going to listen in because I'm driving right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, I just want to say that, I mean, first of all, Jeanette is always on point when it comes to the Word of God. She is a very anointed vessel of God, and I just thank God for her input and her wisdom. And she's just on point. You know, the truth of the matter is, when you look at the Scripture and when it talks about end-time prophecy, it tells us that this is what's going to happen, that we are going to be persecuted. See, this is why we have to stop reading the Bible and start studying the Bible, because when you study the Scripture, this won't be a shock to the people of God that they're coming against the church. That, listen, the church has been under attack outside of America for a very long time, and now it is under attack here, just not at the same level yet that it's under attack in countries outside of America. But the biblical principles in America have been under attack for quite a while now. And so a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth because we don't know Scripture the way we're supposed to. So then we look at things from a Democrat or Republican perspective, or we look at things from a white or black perspective. Racism is an enemy, is a tool, I mean, of Satan. Because when you stop and you study the Scripture, you will find that there's always been racism. There's always been classism. And classism is where people are within their own race hate each other. So it can't simply just be about white people and black people and brown people. And that's not to suggest that brown and black people have not been unfairly disenfranchised, because we have. We are the only culture that has had a systematic plan put in place to hold us down and keep us down, and it continues to go on. And that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day. But mm-hmm. when we stop and we understand that sin doesn't care if you're black, sin doesn't care if you're white. The devil just wants to bring division within the body of Christ, and that's what he's doing. And so when you look at the fact that while we celebrated the fact that we had our first black president, the first black president signed into law some very ungodly and immoral things. And that's the truth of the matter. And when we look at Donald Trump, yes, he's an immoral president. He is. There's no two ways about that. But the evangelicals will hang their hat, you know, people like Jim Baker and others will hang their hat on the fact that President Trump is against homosexuality and same-sex marriage and lesbianism and abortion, and that's fine. And the people of God should be against that as well. But he has done some other immoral things that they sometimes seem to have selective amnesia about. But as well, President Trump, he made sure that Jerusalem was made the capital of Israel. Well, that's biblical prophecy fulfilling itself. And so when he did that, oh, yeah, they just fell in love with him. But, again, we must, as a body of baptized believers, must not get caught up in the Democrat or Republican. We must not get caught up in the unfair judicial system. And it is unfair. But we can't afford to get caught up in that, because we have our own issue within the body of Christ where we need to be educating people the right way through teaching them the right scripture. Listen, this is how subtle the devil is. He has the body of Christ arguing over once saved, always saved. Now, in the grand scheme, if you step back and think about it, what does it really mean? I mean, what does it really matter if once saved, always saved? That is a debate that's there. But one of the biggest debates is about the rapture. Is there a rapture? Isn't there a rapture? Well, why are we wasting time debating that? The bottom line is this. If you don't make it to the rapture, if you die tomorrow, there's your rapture right there. If you wait and there is a rapture, well, you've been raptured up, and the people who didn't believe in it was wrong. But what if there isn't a rapture? Then the people who believed in it, they'll be disappointed, but if they stay with God, they still go. So in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. But the devil has used it to cause us to be divided and waste time debating things instead of serving God and bringing people to Christ. Because here's the truth of the matter is, here's the truth of the matter. Some of us ain't going to never know if there's a rapture because people are dying every day. I received some news today of some people who used to be a member of my church, and her husband and her mom died. So there was their rapture right there. So again, we don't have time to continue wasting time debating issues that in the grand scheme of things really don't even matter. Yeah. There's one God who sent his only begotten son named Jesus. And guess what? He's the only way to heaven. And yes, he died for our sins. But that does not mean, because Jesus died for our sins, that we can accept him as our Lord and Savior and then go about living and practicing sin and think we're going to make it into heaven. It's just not going to happen. It ain't going to happen for my kids. It ain't going to happen for my wife. It ain't going to happen for me. It ain't going to happen for nobody. And just allow me to end my soapbox with this. I'm so sick and tired of people talking about the pastor's kids and the first lady kids and the pastors and this. Listen, when our kids get of age of accountability, they have a mind of their own. And when it's all said and done, they're going to do what they feel led to do. You ain't in my house. You don't know what I've said to my kids. But what we ought to be doing, watch this. It's going to be dangerous when I say it. We ought to be praying for one another, because you don't never know what somebody else is going through. So how about we become unified and pray for each other and stop arguing over things that doesn't even matter in the grand scheme of things.
Amen. And not only pray for each other, but pray with each other. If we're praying to the same God, we can pray with each other. Like every night, I've dedicated myself to a nightly 9 p.m. Central Standard Time prayer line where me and Brother Monty and some of the sisters, and I don't even say my church, your church, their church, this church. If you want to get on and you believe what I believe, that same core belief that Jesus came, he lived, suffered and died, and rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father with all power. If you believe that, we can pray to the same God. We can touch and agree. We can stand together. But, of course, if you don't believe that, and you're praying to a different God or a statue, well then, no, we can't pray together. And oftentimes, that's what a lot of these people like Oprah try to do. Bring all these religious folk together when there is tragedy and say, hey, let us all come and pray together. Well, I have an issue with that, because I don't understand how you can bring a person that is Muslim and he's going to pray to Allah, and then you bring a person that's going to pray to Buddha, and then you bring another person that's going to pray to another statue. Another person that's going to meditate, one person that's going to try to levitate. We can't all sit there and pray together. So if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God,
we can do some things. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
My next question, though, Rev, is this. There's some denominations that believe women can pastor. Now, I know this is a lightning rod of a topic. I know people. Listen, I want you to call me. 323-870-3403. There's some denominations that believe women can be pastors. They can be in charge of the congregation, of the church, make decisions. And there's some that say women can work in their place, but they should not be pastors. And based on the denomination, based on the type of church that you're attending, you may have a woman pastor. Is that biblical? Is that man-made? That's my question, Real. I know I'm putting you on the spot, Real. I know.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I'm because of God, I'm built for this. So. Here's the question I would ask an individual that would ask that question. When you studied the scripture that indicated to you that you did or did not believe a woman could pastor, did you determine that scripture was a timeless scripture? Was God speaking or was Paul speaking? In most cases, that's all we could be talking about is if it was Paul speaking, because we get those kind of instructions in Paul's writing. However, if we study, we'll find out that in most cases, Paul was writing those letters in response to some issues that were going on. And so there were women that were there in the ministry that were out of order. And we also got to keep in mind the culture of the Hebrews, of the Jews. And so the question that needs to be asked is, was this simply, amen, a Hebrew culture? Was Paul simply talking about this being disallowed in that time, in that day, as it relates to that setting? Or was he talking about perpetually? Because that matters. Because when it's all said and done, If we don't find that God, through His Son Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, has given us understanding of it being something that should be perpetual, we need to watch what we start saying. Now this is where we get on a slippery slope. We start picking out of the Bible what we believe is cultural and was for that day, and then we start speaking about what we believe isn't. So we waver on both sides. So yeah, this was only for that day. So when Paul says suffer women to be silent and ask their husbands when they get home, well, number one, he had to be talking about a cultural situation that was going on in that day and time, because number one, not every woman is going to have a husband. Number two, we know that through further study of that text, the women were jumping up and they were speaking out of order, speaking out of turn. And so Paul says here, Timothy, this is how you address this situation. This is how you deal with this. And so we know that now it couldn't be saying for women not to speak now, because there would be no churches. Because most of your churches are predominantly what?
Women.
With women, correct? They're predominantly filled with women, so how would that work in today's age? Now I will say this: I do believe that the scripture teaches us that a woman should always have a covering. So if she is pastoring, she should be answering to someone that's over her, that's a man. That's what I believe. But this sense that women cannot preach. Well, pastor, I do not think it lines up with the Bible as something that God was saying that is so for this day and time. I just really don't believe that from what I've studied. Most of what I've seen in Paul's letters was him addressing issues that was arising in those churches in that day and time, and he spoke to them. Do some of them have application now? Sure. Most of them were cultural. Remember, God wasn't okay with polygamy, but he allowed it within the culture of the Hebrews. As long as they could afford to take care of the extra wife or whatever, that's something God allowed. But that's not something, that wasn't a design of God, or he would have gave Adam more than one wife. So that was God's design, one wife, one husband. And so I'll continue to say, this is why we must study the Bible, not just go grab a scripture and hang our hat on that scripture and say, hey, we're the Church of God in Christ, or we're the Holiness Church, and you can't wear makeup and you can't wear pants, because salvation is more about the heart than it is about an outward appearance. When it's all said and done, there's some people going to hell not because they got on pants. They're going to hell because they didn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's some people that's wearing a dress that never wore makeup that's going to bust hell wide open because they never in their heart accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we got to get this thing right. We got to be able to rightly divide the scripture as it says in the Word of God, so that we're not teaching people what we want them to believe, but we're teaching them what the Bible actually teaches.
Gotcha. I gotcha. I mean, because that is a very touchy subject. It's very explosive, because you got a lot of churches that now have women pastors. And the scripture does say for women not to teach or even to usurp authority over a man, over the man. And it gives reasoning behind that because Adam was formed first and Adam was not deceived, the woman was deceived. So I think at a later time, we really should kind of work that out. I mean, just really dive and do a deep dive into that and understand, give a better understanding of, like, how to study the Word and what that means, what that scripture means, and how we can study it and how we can really, as you say, rightly divide it to the point where people can understand, like, okay, it said this, and it means this. You can apply that same explanation to everything, like you said, because now you're picking and choosing to say what was for that day and what's for today. So I don't know. I sometimes had issue with women being the pastor, like the person in charge, like the pastor. I've never had issue with a woman teaching or even bringing forth the Word. In fact, the church I grew up with, the sisters always got up in front of the church and taught, you know, many, many times. So I'm not, I've seen that before. But to have four blown-out pastors as women, it looked a bit strange to me. I'll just say that, and I'll leave it at that.
So I would just ask this question, and I'm just putting it out there. I'm not debating on by any stretch of the imagination. I would challenge a person to explain to me how a woman being a pastor is her usurping authority when in most cases where it comes where her office of pastor comes in has nothing to do with her home situation. Because if we're going to say that they can't pastor as it only relates to what they preach or teach, then we have to come back and say that they can't teach either, because that same component that happens when teaching is going on is the same component that happens when the preaching goes on. The argument for years have been from the perspective of the component of the office of pastor, because now they are over men. And so my question is, what is truly usurping your authority over men or over your husband? I knew a woman that was a pastor, and she was the pastor at church. She was her husband's pastor at church, but she'll tell you, when she left the church, that was her husband. He made every decision. He had the final decision. He gave the instruction, the vision, the whole nine yards. She was very submissive to him as it related to her being her husband. And so, my thing is, we got to be careful with understanding what was Paul really addressing and why was he addressing it. Why did he say that women should usurp authority over men? And did he simply say it because he was addressing it for that moment? Or, again, like I said, and that's why we got to ask that question. And like you said, that's why we need a good Bible, a good study Bible. That's why we need a good commentary for the Bible. That's why we need to be able to study the Hebrew for the Old Testament and the Greek and Aramaic for the New Testament. So we can know, let's translate these words back into their original language to find out what they really meant, because there are times when the word male is used. I'm sorry, there's times when man is used in the Bible when it literally means male. But there are also times when the word man is used when it means mankind. So everybody, male and female. And so a lot of people, unfortunately, will not take the time to go do what I love to hear you say is deep dive. I love that terminology. I love that phraseology. A lot of people do not take the time to take a deep dive to find out, well, what is this really meaning? And does it really only mean it in this context? Because I'm just saying, I'm not saying that this is an excuse, but ministries would struggle if there weren't women involved with teaching and preaching and things. Because I'm telling you, you know, they got 40% of our men locked up, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. But yeah,
so. Right. Okay. Well, listen, let me go back to Brother Monty and see if he would like to comment before I move on to the next question. Okay, Rev?
Yes,
Brother
sir.
Monty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Good. Did you want to comment on anything that you heard?
I want to say a few things briefly. I know, like, in this natural realm of things, so many people are so touchy.
Are you there, Brother Monty?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
You know, God has given us the tools we need through the Word of God to be able to carry out the purposes that He poured into us, and how man and women has gone on and devised their own plan. And it just seems to me that it has always been a controversy with women in certain leadership roles when it comes to the church. But it didn't just happen with the church. It happened in natural things, too. For a long time, they wouldn't allow women in the construction industry. They didn't allow women to even work, for that matter, if we want to really get technical about it. And it was just something that was just strictly so unfair. And not to mention, women didn't get paid the same wage as men get paid. And so women fought for equal pay, which they should have rightfully should, because if they're doing the same job and the same thing that man is doing, why shouldn't they get the same pay? But even when it comes to the church, I believe that if a valid point that Reverend Murphy said was that, you know, if we didn't have women in the church and in any capacity of leadership, you know, what kind of church would that be? Because a lot of men don't go to church, and that's just known to be true. A lot of men don't go to church for various reasons. And one of the reasons is in particular, is pride. They don't want nobody telling them what to do. They want to do what they want to do. And so I happen to think that God is raising up women to lead, and because men are not doing what they were called and purposed to do. So I'm under the inclination that God can use anyone. He used a donkey in the Bible. He can use women. And so women have been really the backbone of the church for many, many years that I can recall. Women have been the backbone of the church. And some women don't want to lead, though. They're very humble, and they have a spirit of humility. But perhaps there's somebody God had called and raised up in the church, and her gift really supersedes her just being a welcomer, somebody to welcome the people in the church, or a greeter. Her gift supersedes that. And if she has a gift, who am I to deprive her of a gift that God has bestowed upon her? I can't stand in the way. Biblically, I can't stand in the way. And this woman's gift, because think about it, God said that there's many gifts in the church and all part of what one body. So that gift is needed. If I tell that woman to sit down and, you know, I've seen situations where pastors won't even let other elders or men come in a pulpit to preach because it's their church. And that's being biased, all spiritually biased all by itself. So for a woman, yeah, in my opinion, in my humblest opinion, I believe that God is raising and have been raising and have been using women for a very, very long time. And again, that's because of, if God is going to get something done, I'm just going to put it like this. The call may be on your life to do it, but if you don't do it, you think God going to wait on you? No, he's not. God will raise somebody up to do it. Someone that's willing. That's it. God is only looking for somebody that's willing to do it. That's it. And there are a lot of women that are willing to do it. When men don't do it, there are women who are crying out on their knees in prayer and travailing in prayer for to do it. And I just believe Amen. That God gives them that unction and that authority and that power to do it. And that's where I stand Amen. On that.
And I would just throw this in too. Deborah in the Old Testament was a judge. So I'm not understanding. But did she only judge women? I mean. I don't think so, right? Priscilla and Aquila, I believe, were two ladies that were fellow members in ministry with Paul. They weren't bringing people water. They weren't standing at the front of the tent being greeters. They were. Paul referred to them as fellow servants in the gospel. So to me, the Bible does not support this kind of thinking, where women are supposed to be so subservient that they don't get to lead from those perspectives. I just don't think the scripture supports that. I do think the scripture clearly says that there was some issues going on in particular in Paul's letters in some of those churches, and Paul addressed how to deal with those issues from a cultural perspective. And I think that the denominations have, as a result of that, began to establish this understanding of how they believed it applied to today, and you know that's where I stand with it.
I do understand your point, Brother Manuel, but when you look at the history of America, men have always been the barbarians to say what goes and what don't go, what they like and what they don't like. And we can't, if it's not of God, we can't supersede God and say what's right and what's wrong, because now we're in error. And when men get in error, this is what's going on with the church world as a whole today, because men continue to get in error. And when you get in error, you deceive, cause people to be deceived, cause people to go down the wrong path, and we have to still continue to hear and seek the voice of God. This is the reason why Solomon asked for wisdom, so he can differentiate
how to judge and gauge people that was doing right and wrong. It's so much that it's not easy for a pastor or one that's in leadership in a church to govern his church on his own as a whole. That's why he needs helpful people to help him delegate. You know, eyes and ears to help him delegate. So there's stuff that goes on that a lot of people in the church don't even know it goes on. But the pastor knows, and the pastor has to address it. And he can't be biased. He can't be biased. You know, he has to rule and govern the church by the spirit and power of God that's within him. And it's got to be according to the word of God.
Saying all that, and to a certain degree, I agree with the both of you. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that sometimes when you look at, okay, the wording that's used, right? We're talking about women who pastor in a leadership role over a man. And I'm not saying that women can't be used to lead. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in this particular case, when you see women who are pastors and you say, well, God has to use a woman because there aren't enough men going to church or enough men willing to lead. I think it also substantiates and continues to perpetuate the feminist agenda attempts to castrate or even remove men from the equation altogether and their role as leader in the home, not only just in the home, but in all other aspects of life, whether it's in the professional arena or whether it's in the church. I think that there's also an undercurrent of that happening as well. So, like I said, it requires a deeper discussion and a deeper study than the one we can have right now because we don't have enough time to cover all this. But I also see that there is that happening as well. And so you see men coming to the church of a woman who's a pastor and wanting to be taught and wanting to be groomed and brought along. But, you know, what a lot of female pastors tend to want to do is to groom and bring along their daughters, not their sons. And so you see a lot of prophetess this and a lot of prophetess that, a lot of things coming out of there. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is that we just can't explain this in a way that says, okay, that was for that time. And so culturally, that's how he dealt with what was going on with those churches at that time, because some of the things that's going on with those churches back then is some of the stuff that's going on with churches right now. So, like I said, it's for a different discussion. I don't necessarily disagree with you guys 100%, but I feel like there's some caveats. I'll put it like that. There's some caveats, and then it depends on the situation. It's situational as well. So
I would say this real quick, Brother Manny. Let me just say this real quick. I agree with you. I agree that abuses, no matter who it's coming from, is not godly. And I would caution women or men to be abusive in any level of ministry that they have. And you're right. I've heard of a ton of cases where women became pastors and they used this as a platform to, well, I shouldn't say a ton of cases, but I've heard of enough cases where women became pastors and they used it to further a feminist type of agenda, if we want to say it that way. But I would say this, anybody who steps in the office of anything that God is in, that belongs to God, we all better understand that we are liable back to God. And so no matter who we are, male or female, if we abuse the office that we have a date with destiny with God, and God's going to deal with us. Hopefully I did not imply that it was okay for women to pastor simply because there's a shortage of men, because that's not what I'm saying. I am saying that that has been a collateral effect of why some women have come to pastor. But, of course, there have been some women who have had agendas from day one to say, hey, I'm gonna matriculate to this office and so that I can further my agenda the way that I want to do it. And, again, I would caution anybody, male or female, this the office of a pastor in particular is nothing to trifle with. It's just not.
That's right.
And God, listen, the punishment that we're going to get, the Bible says this, Brother Manny. It says, wish that not many of you were teachers. He says, because you're going to be in error. And when you are in error, you're going to be whipped with many stripes. So watch this. What that text is teaching is that no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we study, there's going to be a point in time by which we may teach something that's in error, and we may not intend to do it. But he said, it doesn't matter if you intended to do it or not, you're going to be dealt with. He says you're going to be whipped with many stripes. In other words, you're going to get a punishment not unlike a layperson. You're going to get a different type of punishment. So if he's going to do that to somebody who accidentally may say something that doesn't line up, what do you think God's going to do, male or female, to somebody who has gotten into that office with their own agenda? And I point back to the word of God that said he's going to tell a lot of people, depart from me. You were a work of a nick. I never knew you. You were on your own agenda. And so yeah, I would caution anybody who has their own agenda, male or female.
Hey, man, thank you for that, Rev. I'm going to go ahead and get to the next. This is the final one. I guess we can make it a little bit briefer of a discussion. And like I said, this is going to carry over to another time. I want to talk about the differences in some of the bigger denominations. You have some confusion as it pertains to, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to Mass every Sunday. I pray. I say my Our Fathers, my Hail Marys. There's prayers you can pray to St. Peter, to Michael. There's, you know, and they are considered Christians and a part of the Christian church. In fact, the stay at home and don't have church or don't have, you know what I'm trying to say, was that particular thing was taken from the Pope and the Catholic Church. He basically said,
That's right.
Let's not meet or whatever. And so that was just a sweeping kind of acceptance with all the rest of the Christian churches. And we kind of all lumped into one. And so as we're talking about denominations, I want to know, can you kind of, you know, break that up a little bit to show that, hey, this there's a difference here than, you know, other churches?
So the first thing we got to do, and Brother Manny, this is just something that some people just don't want to do, and that's just called red, as I would say. The Roman Catholic Church is not necessarily the end-all, be-all of religion. They have a lot of practices that are not godly, and you could even bring into question if they're in fact a so-called true Christian religion. The Bible said that when Jesus hung on the cross and he was crucified, he said that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom to show that there would need to be no more separation and that the people no longer had to go in to the priest. And the reason the veil was rent from the top to the bottom was so that the people would know that no man could have did that, that it was God who was eradicating that particular covenant. And so for the Catholic Church to still have practices that don't line up with the Scripture, the Roman Catholic Church, let me say it that way, for it to continue to do practices, have us praying to Mary, that's not biblical. We have to now, as we see these red flags raised, we have to now call into question if, in fact, they are part of the Christian faith. Now, again, people don't like having these discussions because we have been taught through propaganda and some other things that, you know, hey, you respect the Pope, and the Pope is the end-all, be-all. But when you study Scripture, you also find the Antichrist is coming from that particular thing. But, again, that's a whole other conversation. So, again, one has to go. And what I love about God is this is a personal thing. So we can go to God for ourselves and ask God to reveal unto us what is the truth and what is the lie. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to us what's the truth and what's a lie. We can't keep going by what we see on TV, because TV is a tool to brainwash the people. That's what it really is. And so we cannot simply go by that and depend, well, if because you're right, Brother Manny, the Roman Catholic Church made the decree that there will be no longer churches meeting. And so because, watch this, the president, who is technically supposed to be a part of the evangelical belief and understanding, he acquiesced to the Pope, who again is in allegiance with the Muslims, because remember, I've said on some calls before, the Pope met with the imam and they signed an agreement to establish a one world religion. So again, that's why the people got to know what's going on. And just because they say on TV it's Christian religion doesn't make it a Christian religion. And no more than some of these other religions that say that they are under the Christian religion and say that, well, if you're not baptized, then that can't be true. How can you be a part of the Christian faith if you're not following Christ's instructions? And so it's time for the people to take a stand and say, listen, this is what I believe. This is how I can substantiate what I believe. And let the word of God be true and everybody else be a lie. So I hope that answers the question, Brother Manny.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, if there's more to go into about that, like I said, we really have to do a deep dive study into this and pull back all the layers like an onion. You know, there's just so much to unpack here. We don't have enough time on this one broadcast to do it. So we definitely will have to come back next Monday with this part of this. I want to go to the phones really quick before I go to you, Brother Monty. God bless you. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
God bless you, brothers. It's Sister Anderson. And I just wanted to, God bless you. I just thank God for all of you men. And I just want to call in with a comment. And my comment is there is a chain of command. There's a chain of command within the church and without the church. And as far as the church is concerned, Jesus Christ is the head, and it's man, and man is over woman. I'm telling it how I understand it. I'm going to put it that way. And I believe that God would use a prepared vessel, qualify, and God will use a qualified vessel. And another statement I wanted to make is that not only will God use a qualified vessel, a person, but know your calling and what you are called for. And on top of that, the women. Now, women followed Paul in the scripture. He had women, you know, they went with him and ministered with him, but he never called any of them pastors, you know. He never called any of them. Now, Priscilla and Aquila was a man, husband, a wife and husband couple that went with him everywhere, and they, assisted him when he was out in his ministry. And another thing, I'll put it like this. Jesus Christ is wise. His wisdom is above all other. And I would say for a woman to get in that position, she better know her calling is of God. Because, see, a lot of people want to take when Jesus met the woman at the well and told her that I'll give you a drink that you would never thirst again. All of his, the disciples, they were already gone into the city. It was just him and the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. But what he told her about the drink that he would give her and she would never thirst again, he told mm-hmm. her to go and tell. So she went mm-hmm. and started to tell, and the people started coming. Even the disciples came back. But he did not tell mm-hmm. her to go and preach. He told her to go and tell
Amen.
What he had told her. And I agree with, the brothers and what they said. And I just believe that if a woman take up the position of pastoring, she better make sure it's a call of God and not within herself.
Amen.
See, that happens. I knew a situation
Amen.
Where the pastor passed on and the wife took over the church, and she gave her reasoning as taking up the position as passed over the church is because that was her income. But see, you can't take up pastoring simply for an income. You're taking
Amen.
Over.
Amen.
And in the meantime, you have all of these men and all of these assistant pastors sitting there, and you're urging authority over them. No, I'm. You know what? I'm sorry. I can't see it. And I understand when who was it? Paul was speaking about the women just sit down and be quiet. It was because they was out of line, out of their place, and speaking about stuff that they didn't know anything about. So
Amen.
I think
Amen.
A woman should stay in her place. Now, I do know there's some instances now. I'm just saying. For in your household, the man is over your household. And I know there's some instances where there is no man in the house. So that makes the woman the head of that house. But it doesn't make her the head of the men over in the church. She's the head of her household.
Amen.
And she's the only,
Amen.
Like, just female and no man in that house. And that's what I would stand on. And I would say that if any woman, now God, you, there are women that God have used mightily, you know, but make sure that when they take up the position as pastor, people need to know pastor and what that means, especially as a female. You need to know what pastoring means. And that's the
Amen.
Comment I want to make.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much for that, Sister Anderson. You know, as always, it's much appreciated, and we welcome you to call in anytime. God bless you, okay?
Thank you, and God bless. Okay.
Amen.
All right, Brother Monty, we have a few minutes here. Rev, I know you might you have to go now, or you good to make a final comment?
What's the time? I don't have a clock.
We have about 11 minutes left.
Before 8?
No, it's past
it's 8.
8
till.
Yeah.
What time is it now? I'm sorry.
8:18, Rev.
Oh yeah, I gotta hop off. Let me make a final statement. I concur with everything Sister Anderson just said, which is why I said that if a woman takes the office of a pastor, she still needs to have someone over her, a pastor over her, a male that's over her, who she has accountability back to. Absolutely, I agree with everything she just said. And I would just say this: first of all, Brother Emmanuel, thank you for having the courage to even have this discussion today, because I'm telling you, it is such a controversial topic, but my whole plan for all of this was for us to understand something. We need to stop finding reasons to be divided and study that word so we know what the word says, so we can come together and be unified, because the attack that's on the body of Christ is going to require that we be on the same page. We can't be arguing over
Amen.
Makeup and pants and baptizing the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost versus Jesus' name only. We are in a desperate situation right now. Not a situation that God, that's out of control, out of God's control, of course, but the people of God, the body of Christ, we need to be on the same page, understanding that there's only one God. And Oprah is wrong. There's not many ways to God. It just is not. His son Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And you've got to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And so, again, Brother Manny, blessings upon you and your household. God bless you, Brother Monty. Blessings upon you and your household. Sister Jeanette, blessings upon you and your household. Sister Anderson, blessings upon you and your household. And may God continue to strengthen you guys and bless you. Here's our prayer. We love you guys, and we will talk to you.
We love you, bro. Amen.
Love you too, Rev. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir.
God bless.
Peace.
And as always, you can find the Reverend Joseph C. Murphy over at the Caring Church of Memphis. They are on Facebook. There's Word Wednesdays that are at 7 p.m. It goes Facebook Live. And they also have a service that goes live on Saturdays at 12 noon. So if you go over, find the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page, like and follow that page so that you can keep up with all of the content that they post, okay? Brother Monty, you have the final word before we get off the air here.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me, Brother Monty?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just want to conclude by saying that it's definitely touchy situation when it comes to the authority that God has placed on someone to lead in leadership. And so we definitely, like Sister Anderson has said and Reverend Murphy has said, you know, and as well as you, Brother Emmanuel, that, you know, we have to be very cognitive of why people do what they do and in certain roles. Specifically this role that God had mandated for someone to be an overseer or a shepherd over people, that's you have to be in your due diligence and in the Word of God to allow you to be in that calling, a calling to shepherd someone. And so, but other than that, I just thank God for this platform and you being able to put these different topics together and that God is using you for. And just can continue just giving God what's due him, you know, because it's really all about God. And I think sometimes even as Christians, we get so caught up but it's all about God. It's not about you. It's about God. And we need to continue to lift up God's name in the name of Jesus, and that we continue to give him praise. He is the one that deserves to be highlighted, no one else. And everybody else is just vessels. Where you being used as instruments of love. And I just want to close on that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Monty. As always, okay. As I say, it's a blessing to have you on, and may you continue to be blessed. Thank you so much for joining us.
God bless you. Okay.
But, folks, there you have it. Listen, I don't want to make it seem like, I don't believe in women pastors. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have to understand all sides of things. And when we're speaking toward denominations or about denominations, a lot of what we discuss today, whether it's, you know, believe in, you know, having allowing homosexuals to lead in your church or lesbians to lead in your church or be in leadership roles, or if it's about a woman, you know, being pastor, or even about the Catholic Church, you know, how they believe so stark differently than what is in God's word as it pertains to being a follower of Christ. I mean, a lot of things that they do are contrary to God's word. But these are the different denominations, and we're all saying that we serve the same God. But there aren't multiple ways to God. There's only one way. And if you don't surround your doctrine and your teachings, if it's not predicated upon that one thing, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but by him, he is the door. He is God. incarnate in the flesh. He lived, suffered, died, and rose again, and sits now at the right hand of all power in heaven, far above all principalities and powers. He is King. He is Lord. If you can't center your doctrine around that, then there's some error there. But oftentimes, people start other churches and they have other denominations because they want to be able to teach the doctrine that they want to teach. And oftentimes, it's contrary in some ways to what God's word is saying to us. And so that's the name of our broadcast, God's Word to Man. Not man's word to man. It's God's word to man. And I'd like to thank you this evening for joining us. Don't forget, we are on Facebook, God's Word to Man. We're on Facebook going over if you are on social media and like and follow that page. And as I said, if you want to email us your question, comment, or prayer request, you can do so by emailing God's Word to Man at gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2MAN. At gmail.com. Now listen, for Rev Murphy, Brother Monty, Sister Jeanette, Sister Anderson, and myself, listen, I'm your brother and I love you. May God bless you, may God keep you, and may God go with you is my prayer. Have a good night.
I know if you wanted to, you could wave your hand. Bear me this heartache and change your plans. And I know any second you could take my pain away. But even if you don't, I pray, help me want the healing more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the Savior. Help me want the healing more than the healing.